And there's a more traditional ghostly talk break. Yeah.
I love that music.
Dun, 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 dun. Yep. That's more traditional.
Keep going.
It does. It pumps you up. And what are we pumped up about? We're pumped up about Gettysburg right now because we're talking to Mark Nesbitt of ghostsofgettysburg.com. And we're going to ask him in a moment. We're going to ask him what his favorite things are. It's got to be so cool just like living there and working there and doing all kinds of cool ghostly stuff
in
Gettysburg.
I just thought of a name for him.
What?
The G-Man.
The G-Man?
He's a G-Man.
Well, I actually abbreviated G and then a small O and then another capital G. GOG. That's what I put on the website.
Oh, for Ghost of Gettysburg.
Ghost of Gettysburg, yeah. So anyway, but I want to just say before we get back to Mark, this is, of course, Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
And I am Karma.
I'm Will.
Oh, hi, Will. And we are broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. on Pioneer Network. That's pioneer.rolo.net. Our website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com. And, for example, Mark's website will permanently be linked into our guest section.
We made some room,
so,
I see.
Yeah, we're making room. We're trying to reorganize stuff there. And so he'll get a permanent link, so you'll be able to go to our website to go to ghostsofgettysburg.com at any time after this, because it'll be up there permanently.
It's a must-check-out. Like, site. You have to check it out.
Oh, yeah, and the stuff. Like I said, I ordered the videos, I ordered the little cassette thing, and we're on our way. We'll be there on Sunday. And, well, on next, not like, but next Sunday, yeah.
Not
so
Sunday.
That's why there won't be a Ghostly Talk next Sunday, because we're going to be out there checking out the Ghost of Gettysburg brick-and-mortar store, let's say.
But our goodie bag will be full when we get back.
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying to, like, pack empty, bags and empty stuff because I'm going to be buying so much stuff. I also want to say, while we're live on the air, and we're only live on Sunday nights, if you're hearing this any other night, you're hearing a replay because we're replayed on KSSX. We're replayed, of course, on Pioneer itself. We're replayed on 11LRNI. We're replayed on all kinds of different...
The Moist, right?
And Moist FM, yes. So we're replayed throughout the week, but we're not live then. We're only live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. on Pioneer. If you go to pioneer.rolo.com, pioneer.rolo.net, there's a text chat link. When it comes up, there's a little control. It looks like a dial. One of the things that you can click on is text chat. Join the chat room. I see there's all kinds of cool people in the chat room, including the X-Zone folks. They're in there. Their show's starting up on Pioneer tomorrow, and we're very excited about that. And
we are being played right now on All Talk Radio.
Oh, we're on All Talk as well.
Currently, right now, yes.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic. All Talk Radio. Everybody, alltalkradio.net. So we're on yet another internet radio station, so that's pretty cool. All Talk, by the way, is next month. Is their supreme opening. They've been working really, really hard to get all kinds of excellent programming on All Talk Radio, and that's a very diverse station. It's not paranormal only, it's everything. So alltalkradio.net, they have all kinds of cool shows. Go there. There's a link to All Talk on the Ghostly Talk website as well. So ghostlytalk.com, you'll get to click on all these cool things. Now, back to what we're pumped up, what we're really excited about, because we're going to be there. This time next week, we are going to be in Gettysburg. So, and it's so cool because today we get to talk with Mark Nesbitt of ghostsofgettysburg.com.
And he has a special treat for us.
And he's got a treat for us. Mark, I was asking you, what's your favorite stuff? Because we've been talking about what interests us and stuff and what we're going to expect and things like that. What's your favorite cool stuff? It's got to be so cool to live and work there in Gettysburg, especially around the paranormal stuff. What's your favorite?
Well, my favorite part about the whole thing, I think, is the history. I started off as a historian, and I was a park ranger for about 5 years in Gettysburg, and so did a lot of the history. But to be able to combine the history, and so the very first ghost book, let me put it this way, the very first ghost book was kind of like folklore. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't lost to posterity. I wanted the legends to be in print, and so that was the first book. And probably within 2 weeks after that first book came out, I started getting phone calls and letters from people saying, My neighbors are wrong. I'm not crazy from what I experienced, what I told them I experienced at Gettysburg. And they started giving me their stories about what happened to them. And it's grown to about, well, six books, going on a seventh book, well over 500 stories of experiences. And those are just the ones that people tell me about. There are hundreds of others out there. So what has happened, actually, is I've gone from being a historian to being a paranormal guy, you know, getting into the mystery of what is this that's going on out here, that people get on the Gettysburg battlefield and suddenly they'll see what looks like a reenactor walking down the road, and they'll look at him and they'll remark what an incredibly accurate outfit he has, and then all of a sudden he disappears. I'm getting into more proactive stuff now. We're actually, in the last couple of years, we started going out and actually doing investigations at various sites, whether it's on the battlefield or places just off the battlefield, such as East Cavalry Battlefield, which is kind of a remote area. We've gotten some very good EVP out there, and even some sites in town, some buildings in town that most people don't go to. They're private. They're privately owned. They're actually closed to the public. But we've been out inside to do some research. Of course, in those houses, you know, there were something like 400 houses in the battle in the town of Gettysburg at the time of the battle. 51,000 casualties. That's killed, wounded, and missing. That's a whole baseball stadium, professional baseball stadium, full of people. And so every one of those houses became basically a hospital or a recovery room for these people. So we've been allowed to go into some of these places and try and get some EVP or take photographs, and some of the results has been really remarkable. And that's kind of what gets me going about Gettysburg is going from the history to the brand new, basically the brand new thing of the paranormal.
Speaking of which, there's something going on in our headphones.
I think we might be getting some EVP.
Oh, you hear it without the headphones?
It's
being picked up. Okay. Yeah, because while you were talking, it was really eerie because we would hear this weird vibration
like
go on. Yeah, like a... Like a UFO or something. But it must be something in the ambient noise. The, So you've gotten to work with people who... Well, obviously, you know, just a visitor wouldn't be able to go and do that kind of stuff, but you've gotten to go get some really compelling EVP for folks out there, and I'm positive every Ghostly Talk listener knows already, but let's just go over it just in case there's an
EVP is
electronic voice phenomena, and what it is the theory is that there are sounds that you may not be able to hear that a recorder can pick up, and whether it happens electronically within the recorder or outside in the air doing the percussion, and then but just low enough so that humans cannot pick it up, the recorder can pick it up, put it on the tape or electronic media, and then when you play it back, you're able to hear it then. That's the theory behind electronic voice phenomena, voices on tape. There's a great article about EVP at ghost2ghost.org. So you can read the history of EVP and see what's up with that. But EVP is something that a lot of ghost hunters use as an investigative tool to try and capture EVP, voices, unknown, disembodied voices, voices from unknown sources that just weren't happening while you're there. So Mark, you've started really, really getting into electronic voice phenomena then.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of creeps me out a little bit. You know, I've had experiences out there. I've had visuals. I've had auditory things that have happened to me. But when you get out there on the battlefield or in one of these historic houses and start asking questions into a tape machine, and then sitting in silence, and then when you play it back, you hear something. It's really remarkable, and it's kind of scary. But the EVP that I'm going to play for you here, this was actually...
I love EVP. I love EVP. I'm so glad you found what you wanted to play for us.
It's amazing that it actually... You know, the interesting thing is that anything is recorded at all, because when you're standing there in total silence, you can't hear anything. The background on this is that Jenny Wade, was the only civilian killed by accident in the three-day battle that cost 51,000 military casualties. Jenny Wade was a local girl. She was 20 years old when she was killed. There are actually three houses in Gettysburg that are associated with her. One is her death house where she was shot. The other one is where she grew up, and then the other one was where she was born, and that is basically across the street from where our place is, the Ghost of Gettysburg Tour headquarters. And we were allowed in there one evening, and we were taking photographs and going around doing EVP. I had done some research on the place, found out that her mother's name was Mary Ann Philby. That was her maiden name. This is Jenny Way's mom. The fellow who actually owned the house, his name was John Fouts. And so when I went in there, I wanted to address them and ask them directly some questions. And once again, I'd ask a question and pause for probably 40 seconds in total silence and then ask another question. The recorder that I used is a Panasonic IC recorder. It's a small, looks like about the size of a credit card. And it is a digital recorder. And what I'm going to do is play this for you. And you'll hear my voice, of course, asking the question. Now, remember, I paused in total silence. And, well, I'll just play it for you and you can hear what I got.
Okay. Let's hear what we got.
Here it goes.
John Fouts, are you here? John Fouts, you owned this house, didn't you? Mary Ann Philby Wade, did you feel poor here? Did you and your daughters have to work hard? Did you work hard sewing?
Now, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I noticed a distinct difference between the male voice, John Fouts, and the female voice of Mary Ann Philby.
Yeah, there was a difference. We couldn't make out any actual words, but there were definitely...
I heard a yes, and then the other ones were kind of garbled.
Yeah. And really, my technique is to play that through a computer and with earphones. And it's because it is garbled. I mean, let's face it, they're not exactly communicating like we are with a voice box,
right.
You know.
Right.
And so it's going to be garbled, and I haven't heard any really, really clear EVP, totally clear EVP. I mean, it may exist out there, but I haven't heard any.
Thank you. You haven't heard our little girl?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. We were just as excited as anybody could get when we took a recorder down to... the Edna C. Collins Covered Bridge in near Brazil, Indiana. And it's so haunted that there's actually an official sign there that says, and it's a sign from the Visitors and Convention Bureau, you know, just like the road signs. It's made by the same people who make road signs and stuff. And they commissioned this sign to be made, the Visitor Bureau. And it said, the last line is, this bridge is thought to be haunted by a woman and her child. And we were just sitting there talking, and the recorder was picking us up. We weren't asking any direct questions or anything. The recorder was just playing, and a little girl comes on and says, I want to go. I mean, just as clear as day. And it's really scary.
That's great. Is that on your website?
It's on our website.
We'll listen to it as soon as we're done.
If you go to ghostlytalk.com and then go to the archives page, it's down toward the bottom, and it'll be like a couple shows ago, and they're the actual .w, you know, when you read them into a computer, they come out as WAV files.
Huh?
So we didn't compress them down to MP3 or anything. They're the actual snippets of this longer recording, and the girl at the bridge is completely clear. There's another one on the site as well, but that's not as clear. You can hear the guy agreeing with us, saying me too, but it's not as clear as the little girl. The little girl is almost scary, and it's kind of sad.
Uh-huh.
Because I wonder what she wanted to do. You know, that's the kind of thing that leaves you wondering. And had we known, you know, when we were there, we would have started asking questions. But as you said, these are things you can't hear while you're there. You're listening in total silence while you're pausing. And so to us, we were just talking amongst ourselves, and this girl said something only on the tape.
Yeah, and so. I've tried some other techniques, like using headphones to listen in, but it doesn't work, at least with the equipment I have. And, you know, in other words, try and get a conversation going with these people. So it's very difficult to actually hear them until you play it back.
So this recording that you got, you think it was the family of Jenny Wade?
The one fellow was the owner of the house.
The owner of the house, okay.
So I think he may still be there. And he sounded real proud of the fact. You know, I asked him, John Faust, did you own this house? And I, what I heard is, yes, sir, I did.
Ooh.
And so he's very proud, I think, of the fact that he owned that house. And then when I asked Marianne Philby Wade, I asked her, you know, did you work hard in this house? She said, what I heard was, good Lord, yes.
Wow.
And you picked out the yes, Karma.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I'll bring that along. I'll play that for you when you guys get to Gettysburg.
I'd love to hear that. That is. Are you going to put out a DVD or a CD-ROM with all this cool stuff that you're collecting?
Actually, we're going to... That particular recording is on a DVD, or on a CD, I'm sorry. We put together 7 of our investigations on a CD player, or on a CD, and they're called Ghost Hunts. And so those are actually on there, and that EVP is actually on that tape. And we're also talking about, I've always wanted to do something on EVP in one of my books, but it's very difficult to do because, you know, we'd have to include a CD with the book so you could also hear it as well as read it. So we're probably going to do something completely separate because I have about 100 pretty good recordings of various parts of the battlefield. And so we may put that out within the next couple of years on a separate CD.
That's the kind of stuff you can hear. I know it's going to be very similar weather patterns in Gettysburg, where the winter time you're pretty much snowed in, and you're not going to get very much done if you go out and about investigating, unless you do indoor, you know, which we do. But, you know, houses and things like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of houses in there.
But it's not like you can wander around, you know, at will and wander around cemeteries and stuff.
If you had snowshoes.
Well, you'd have to, yeah. But the winter is not very conducive around here to ghost hunting, at least outdoors. So what happens is there's a lot of, I call it ghost hunter's downtime in the winter, where you wish there was something that you could, you know, do, and you're not invited to any haunted houses at the moment, and you're like, what can I do, what can I do? And all you can do is pop in a video or something and wish you could be ghost hunting. That's the kind of thing that I know I would do during the winter is read these books and listen to the CD-ROMs and watch videos and things like that. So it's perfect for ghost hunters' downtime when you can't be out and about actively investigating. So, well, that's why we started Ghostly Talk. That's why we started the show, was because it was winter and we had nothing to do. So so we started the show because of that. And so that's the kind of interactive media that I really, really, really dig. So I'd buy the book. I'm telling you. I'd do that, Mark. I'd love to have a book like that.
Hey, well, you know, we do get out and do some investigations in the wintertime. I mean, I think, you know, because we have a very busy summer season, we get about 1.6 million visitors a year, mostly in the spring, summer, and early fall. And so when you want to find the battlefield real quiet, wintertime is a pretty good time to do it. November, December, February, it's a little chilly out there, but it's nice and quiet, and you get a little different perspective on the battlefield as well, because without the leaves on the trees, there's not a lot of noise, you know what I mean, from rustling and things like that. So you can get some pretty good EVP, and you can, you know, I often wonder, people ask me, is the time of the anniversary of the battle, is that more active than other times? And it seems like I get more reports from that time, but that's over the 4th of July weekend, so right. We have more people there to witness these things. The battlefield could be just as active. I mean, things could be going on out there in the wintertime, but there's no one there to see it. So that might be a good time to investigate.
That's true. And I had, you know, obviously there's something to do with anniversaries tend to come to mind immediately. Even when you said that you had independent confirmation of the elevator story, I was immediately jumping, you know, like, oh, maybe it was like the same day of the year and it happens all the time, you know, but, you know, trying to put a pattern to it, but maybe there is no pattern. Well, I mean, after all, there's no pattern to a battle.
Well, the pattern seems to be the age-old pattern of, for example, after or before a thunderstorm, there's more activity.
More energy in the air.
Whenever there's, you know, near water. For example, I heard you overheard you talking about Saks Bridge, and that's a very active place, and I think it's because there's the water there, Marsh Creek, and then the wood. Of course, the bridge itself is original, most of it, about 80% of it is original, that both Union and Confederate soldiers used. The area, of course, with all the water around it, I mean, that's pretty standard place you want to go when you want to do any ghost hunting.
Right. I think, too, because of the water and everything, all life goes to water. Even animals will go to water.
Right.
They go to water to even die, even.
Sure.
So it's an important part of life and living.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And of course, there is a theory. I happen to be, I was very fortunate to be at Ohio State Reformatory one time when Gary was there, and Gary explained the you know, like riverbeds and the silica and stuff like that, anything quartz crystalline like that is thought by, you know, paranormal people to be able to hold and release energy in various ways. So crystalline structures and of course sand and things like that you may find in a riverbed, you know, would be silica, you know, would be in a crystalline form, maybe just some big powerful like divining rod or something. Yeah.
One of the things you guys are going to notice when you come to Gettysburg is the field stones out there, and of course Devil's Den is just one area with absolutely huge house-sized boulders, and they are granite, and of course granite has quartz in it. And as well, we have many of the houses are built out of field stone. The granite that was found in the fields, they've made their houses out of them. And even in town, the buildings are made out of, many of them are made out of brick. The ones that are still standing from the battle, of course, are brick, from a local brick, the salmon-colored brick that was made here. And many of the foundations are that field stone that's so common, which is the granite once again. So that goes right along with that theory, Doug, about the granite and the quartz and the crystalline nature holding the energy of spirits.
And able to use that energy and then, of course, the spirits being able to use the energy that it stores and builds up to do the hauntings or try and at least let us know that they're there.
Right.
You know.
It sounds like from the get-go it was a haunting in the making.
It very well. I mean, well,
it's
same
like
thing.
A magnet.
You know, because OSR was built from the, you know, the areas, very similar to Gettysburg, it was built from the areas available resources, which has a high content of quartz and silica and things like that. So maybe that's I'm always looking for patterns, I guess. I'm sorry.
No, that's
but it's very interesting, and I'll tell Gary. If I think he's listening, but if he's not, we're going to discuss that this Friday when I see Gary. But very interesting. So we've got just a couple of minutes. Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left before the next break. Other really cool things that about living and working in Gettysburg. What comes to mind, Mark?
Well, I lived there for about 30 years, and it's a neat little town. It's sometimes overwhelming what happened there, you know, the intense emotional energy that was expended in the town and in the fields around the town, because a lot was on the line, and all the soldiers knew it. I mean, it was a watershed battle of the Civil War, and as well, the men knew that they could die at any second, too. So there's a great deal of emotional energy that was expended there, and you can almost feel it when you get there. I often say that it's like, you know, it's like walking into a church, you know. It's just a building, but it's something special. And that's how Gettysburg is, and I'm sure you guys will feel it, too, when you get there and start wandering around. But that's you know, and I'm always in awe once again of what these men did here. You know, we might like to sometimes make light of it, but it was deadly serious, and they put a lot on the line for our future. So that's the way I like to look at Gettysburg and what they did there.
Is that the because you're a historian as well, or initially I should say, and still a historian? Is it the farthest north that the battle had? We're talking about Civil War, right?
Right.
So most of the battles I thought were around, you know, the border, would have been like near the border of where, you know, the southern states meet the northern states, and I know they you know had burned Atlanta burned.
Right. Well, most of the battles were fought down in the south in Virginia and Tennessee.
Right.
And Gettysburg represented not necessarily the farthest north the Confederates got, but the closest to victory they came in the 4 years of American Civil War. In other words, determining whether there would be one nation or two nations on this, on where the United States is now. So that was what was on the line here.
Wow, that was important.
Yeah.
That was big. And like you said, what, 51,000?
51,000 casualties in 3 days. That's killed, wounded, and missing in just 3 days.
And they all believed one way or the other, one or two nations.
They believed it unto death, many of them.
Wow, that's a lot of power, and that's a lot. I mean, that's conviction. That's conviction. I mean, they believed, like Mark said, unto death. In, you know, I want the South to be its own, or I want, you know, I want it back to the way it was, where everybody's, you know, the United States, and that's a lot of power. A lot of power there. Power in your convictions and energy. It's gonna be a treat because we went down to Indiana, for example, because primarily because of these bridges, these covered bridges. I, in my heart, I don't believe that covered bridges are going to be around all that much longer. And so I want to see these things before, like, 50 years from now, I'm trying to explain to my nieces, you know, we went to these covered bridges. They're like, what's that? You know, we just get in our car and fly to work or whatever. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in 50 years. And I don't think any of these things, they're going to be pavement from now on. Everything's going to be modern, you know. And so I wanted to see these covered bridges. And plus the haunted, there's supposed to be two covered bridges down there. So we went to both of them, but, you know, and got the EVP from the one. But the, you know, that's history. That's something that we won't be able to you know, no. Going to Gettysburg, fortunately, there's a lot of, you know, books and a lot of, multimedia and video and stuff like that on Gettysburg itself and the battle, because it was such an important battle. But just being there, I'm going to have an incredible history lesson. I'm really excited.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I know I will. I'm, like, really geek. We do have to go to break, and then I want to talk about one more thing in our last segment. Can you hang on for the last segment?
Sure.
Cool. I want to talk about at least another thing during the last segment, because it might actually pertain to you, Mark. I'm unsure. We'll find out. Okay? We'll find out after the break.
Okay.
See you in a few minutes.
Detroit Rock City, the rock and roll toy store from hell. Located at 23150 Van Dyke, just north of 9 Mile in Warren, we've got sci-fi superheroes and KISS action figures. Detroit Rock City is your KISS Army headquarters for collectibles and memorabilia. We've got guitars, amps, strings and straps, all your guitar needs, even guitar and bass lessons for future rock stars. All the best in hard rock and heavy metal sounds, threads, and accessories.
Hi, this is Jeff Reynolds with North Florida Paranormal Research, www.ghosttracker.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
Oh, Daddy, play the banjo. What
the nut? Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit WParanormal.com.
Come on and get it while it's here, cause it's running out and you're in a rush.
Hear me, Karma. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
And I am Karma.
I'm Will.
And Will, of course, is
Will's
here. Yeah.
Banger in the board.
Yeah, he's playing with the board again. And we're excited because this is Ghostly Talk, of course, and we do things like go out and hunt ghosts, right? That's what it's a show for ghost hunters, by ghost hunters, things like that. By amateur
Did
ghost
you mean
hunters.
By, like, oh, by.
By. Created
like,
by.
I
done
thought you meant
by.
Like, B-I.
No, we're not like dual oriented. No, no, it's we're by ghost hunters, and we do things like we go out and investigate things, and we play for you the EVPs that we get. We talk about our trips and things like that, like the one we did just 2 months ago in July, and what we're doing with our next upcoming thing is Ghostly Talk will not be live next Sunday because we're going to be in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, exploring what I consider to be the third most haunted city in the United States. Savannah, Georgia, and New Orleans, Louisiana, of course, being number one and two, to me, in my own personal, you know, what I've read about.
Might
Although,
change next week.
That's what I'm beginning to think. I'm beginning to think that my opinion just may change.
You
because,
come back with gray hair.
Yeah. I have a shock of gray hair. And
he moves to Gettysburg, and nobody's ever heard from him again.
Maybe. Well, I might email once in a while anyway. But, so yeah, we're going to be doing our, that's going to start off our our week-long paranormal adventure. Well, actually, that's the third thing in our week-long paranormal adventure, because we're going to be Ohio State Reformatory on Friday, Octagon House on Saturday in Washington Township, Michigan, and then Gettysburg for 3 days. And then we're going to ghost hunt with friends and stuff for a couple days. And then we're going to be in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, for the third annual Mothman Festival. If you haven't heard of the Mothman, go to mothmanlives.com. Listen to our interview with Jeff Wamsley that we did a while ago. And the festival is in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Everybody, go there. We're going to be there giving out free CDs from Ghostly Talk. So, you know, it can't hurt.
I've been wanting to give my impersonation of the Mothman, but okay. I'm not sure I'm going to get it right. It's like a loud screech.
It's a loud screech. Something like that, only I think it's more like gruff. But, yeah. But, anyway, so this is what we're doing. The other thing is Pioneer, if you're not in the chat rooms already, go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net, and click on the little gizmo control unit. There is a text chat link. Join the chat, because coming up after Ghostly Talk is W Paranormal. So there's all kinds of cool folks in the chat rooms talking back and forth about all kinds of stuff, including Gettysburg. Because today we are very, very fortunate to talk with Mark Nesbitt of GhostsOfGettysburg.com, a website that has a store that I have ordered things from. And I don't do much ordering online, you know. But I ordered.
Bulk wrap.
All right. I do a few things, but but especially paranormal stuff. You know, I've ordered now, some ghost hunting equipment online. I've ordered Mark's two videos, Ghost of Gettysburg and Ghost of Gettysburg 2. I ordered his cassette tape, the one that you pop in your car, and Carol, his wife, tells you where to drive to, yeah. And then he tells you the story of the place that you're at. So I've gotten all these cool things. I also did order, I haven't yet, but I am going to order the Ghost magazine.
And you're going to get that second job, right?
And I need to get that second job, because I'm ordering Ghost Mag. If you go to ghostmag.com, Ghost magazine is a popular website about ghost hunters, for ghost hunters, by ghost hunters, that it was a website where they did articles and stuff. They're going into print. It's going to be a printed magazine now. And starting with October, from what I understand. They're trying to start with October, because that's obviously really cool. And October is my favorite month. So ghostmag.com is I'm going to end up ordering that. $20, you get 4 issues, including the... we're not affiliated with them, by the way. So I'm talking about their stuff, and I know the pricing and stuff.
Our palms are not greasy.
Yeah, we don't have greasy palms, but that is the kind of thing that I order online. And, of course, ghostofgettysburg.com, I ordered those things for our trip, because our trip coming up next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're going to be in Gettysburg. So, Mark, do you know what? You're not the first historian who started hearing about about all these haunted stories and things like that I've heard of, that then has gone to write books about paranormal topics. You're the second that I've heard of. You might have been the first one officially, like time wise, but you're the second historian that has then gone on to write about the more paranormal things that you hear about. That I've heard of. The first person I heard of was Frederick Stonehouse. Frederick Stonehouse is a historian, and he does work about the Great Lakes. And, of course, me being in Michigan, because we're broadcast from the Haunted Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan, north of Detroit, and Frederick Stonehouse is a marine historian. And being, the Great Lakes having such a rich history of shipping and things like that, being, you could go down that, I didn't even remember the name of it, but you go down this canal from the ocean and you get into the Great Lakes, into Lake Ontario and then Lake Erie, of course, which can't be that far from you guys, although you're on the other side of the state, but Pennsylvania is on, I think, Lake Ontario, then Lake Erie, and then, the other lakes, to get to Chicago, right? Huge city, huge industrial city. So what happens is there's a lot of ghost stories that historian Frederick Stonehouse had heard about ghost ships, the different things that happen, you know, on ships and about lighthouses and things like that. So I had read his stuff first. So I had officially heard of him first, being a historian who then suddenly is like, wait a minute, look at all these excellent stories. And he still writes about them as a skeptic.
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting when you get a historian to write ghost stories because, I mean, we always look at things with a real, real skeptical eye. You know, we need documentation on these things. And so when you have somebody like him writing ghost stories, it really means that he's done some research on them, and you can pretty much be assured that he's gotten them right.
Oh, I believe it, because he has two books out, as far as I know, called Haunted Lakes and Haunted Lakes 2. And I, of course, have them and read them thoroughly constantly because I'm, you know, around here and I'm always looking for something to go do and go try and see. But the he does get into a lot more detail than what you hear. Like if you're sitting in one of my favorite things to do is if you're in a club, if you're in a bar or something, you're in a city that you don't know, go to a bar and ask around. What have you heard? Can you find this haunted spot for us? That kind of thing.
We've done that.
We did that.
The locals are the best.
Yeah,
they know the spots that are on the internet and that are not on the internet. Like
exactly,
it's their own little favorite place.
But you don't hear the really in-depth story in the backstory like you would from Mark Nesbitt.
The second-hand story or the third-hand.
Right, you get second-hand, third-hand, you know, that kind of thing. But at least you get pointers, you know.
Right.
So there's a method to our madness, you know. But you don't get the really in-depth stuff. So that's why I'm really excited to get these videos and look through your book selection that you undoubtedly have at your store.
Right, we have a large collection of ghost books. Many really great authors. I mean, everyone from Etta Conowitz to Charlie Adams to Rosemary Guiley to.
Wow.
All kinds of people. In fact, she was there last night doing an autographing session, and we have a good, great selection of probably the best in Gettysburg of ghost books.
And I know Catherine Ramsland has some there on the shelves.
Catherine does. She has quite a few. She's been there to autograph as well. And it's interesting because this is just to show you what kind of a person Catherine is and how dedicated she is. You know, we do have the house that you will be visiting us in is haunted. I mean, we've had there's one chapter in my latest book called The Ghost House, and it's all about 271 Baltimore Street, the house that we run our ghost tours out of. And Catherine, when she comes to Gettysburg, because usually she'll come on a weekend that's real busy and you can't get a motel room usually, she'll stay in the ghost house overnight, and she doesn't get much sleep because half the night she's up trying to get EVP or running her video camera trying to get orbs.
Maybe that's on purpose. She comes.
I wonder how can I stay in a haunted place? Oh, I know. I'll call Mark and tell him that I can't find another place.
Hey, Mark. On the break, we were talking about how people that don't believe in the paranormal, and then all of a sudden they have something come to them.
Right.
Where it makes them believers. You had a couple stories that just recently happened to a few people that visited Gettysburg. And
Right, Karma. There was one, in fact, it happened about 2 years ago. A fella came into the office, and I was standing there, and he was dressed as a Civil War soldier. You know, he was a reenactor. And he walked up to me, and I thought he was going to, you know, give me hell for writing ghost stories and everything. He says, you know, I never believed in ghosts at all. Until about 20 minutes ago. And I'm like, well, what happened? He said, and he told me the story. I was standing in the National Cemetery, and he said, I saw what I thought was the best looking reenactor I've ever seen. He was so authentic. He was barefoot. He had the dirt on his face from days of battle. He had, he was ragged. His clothes were ragged. He had the dark powder from biting the cartridges, because they had paper cartridges back in those days. He says, I went up to him to shake his hand to compliment him on his authenticity. Disappeared.
Well,
wow.
You know what? I was thinking, I wonder if, like, the people that dress up and the react...
I've read stories.
What draws them, like, you know, like, if they become a magnet, because they think, oh, yeah, there's another...
Well, I've read stories where reenactors have seen other reenactors who then just disappear in front of them.
Yeah, with like the whole like horse and carriage thing.
Yeah,
like
there's the one about the horse and carriage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's I wonder. Yeah, that might even add to.
We need to get uniforms.
Maybe if we had uniforms, we could draw them to us.
Now,
I don't know.
I know they probably in the town sell some uniforms, don't they? Or at least a hat or something.
You can buy them. You can even rent them in town.
You can rent them?
Yeah, you get uniforms in town. But, no, you're right, Karma, that when we have, for example, encampments, we'll have a reenactment every year, and the people will be out there encamped, and there are a lot of sightings and auditory experiences that happen out of those places. And it makes me believe that just as occasionally we can see the spirits, maybe they can see us too. And they feel comfortable when all of a sudden they look and they see a large group of people dressed as they last remember being dressed, camping out under dog tents, with rifles and artillery and that type of thing. So, you know, maybe that
like they don't feel as foreign anymore.
Pardon me?
Like they don't feel foreign anymore. Like
exactly.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Sounds more welcoming. And if you were going to expend the energy to actually show up, because evidently it's a huge energy event when an apparition occurs, if you're going to expend the energy, you might want to expend it on people who are like you remember, the last, you know, like you had just remembered.
Exactly.
So that could be a wonderful explanation of...
I'm renting a uniform.
I might try to rent a uniform. I don't know.
That'd be kind of cool.
They might have your size, but not mine. There were no soldiers, civil, Union, or Confederate in my size.
By that time of the war, because they were running around and active, there might have been people that started off.
Oh, that's true. Okay, they might have started out my size, but yes, okay. We'll find out. Anyway, Mark, I wanted to say, I think myself that the interest in ghost hunting and stories and places such as Gettysburg with a paranormal twist may start to... There might be an upsurge in interest in stories like the ones that you've put together on video and in books, and also the, you know, places and the tours like you run out of ghostsofgettysburg.com. There might be an upsurge, and that's because I've noticed not only... have for the past several years the cable channels like Travel and Sci-Fi and Discovery Channel, they've been running, especially in October, all these haunted places kinds of things. But also Sci-Fi is coming out with a new show, a regular show called Ghost Hunters, and it's with the people of TAPS, which is the Atlantic Paranormal Society. And I had emailed back and forth like 2 years ago with the people from TAPS, and now evidently they're going to be on Sci-Fi Channel regularly. And I think that might even pique interest in ghost hunting more.
That'll be terrific, yeah.
It'll be exciting, but it'll be a challenge, I think, for your park ranger friends.
Well, I always, you know, I always mention the fact that, you know, you know, get off the battlefield by 10 o'clock, you know, and don't go on there earlier than 6, because, you know, it does stress them out when they have to be chasing ghost hunters around.
What's the ticket? How much is the ticket? Maybe it's worth it. I don't know.
I know what it is now.
They should have it to where, like, if you want to be in the park, Gettysburg, you know, the battlefield, like, after 10, you have to pay, like, this enormous fee.
Because I'd pay it.
I would pay it. A lot of people would make, you know, you'd make money, more money.
I think the park could probably do that.
It would benefit from
Well, with the upsurgence I see in ghost hunting anyway, I have a feeling they might actually consider it. Although their official line is there's no ghosts here.
Right.
I think you're going to have a lot of trouble doing that. In fact, I recommend that you don't. In fact, that's going to be my official line.
Don't do it.
Would be just like anybody. You'd have to, you know, have some kind of credibility. Like, you would have to have, like, yeah, look, I'm from, you know, this group. Like an established group. Not just like...
Well, that's the thing. And that's got to be something you've noticed, Mark. The ghost hunters... you know, anybody with a tape recorder and a camcorder
legit.
And some other things suddenly look pretty legit for ghost hunters, because, you know, you can capture EVP on these every EVP and video on everyday common things you can buy at Best Buy.
Oh, sure.
And so pretty much everybody with an interest in it can be a ghost hunter, which is kind of scary to official organizations like the park. You know,
you could tell
service.
The people that weren't there for business, they'd have like 240s, you know.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Because most ghost hunters, they don't drink
you
on the
can't.
Job.
Yeah. You cannot drink while you're before or during a ghost hunt. After, though, you know, you can get pretty well lit. But, I mean, before and during, there's absolutely no drinking, at least on any ghost hunt I've been on.
And the other interesting thing, too, is that of all the stories that I've collected, about 45% of them happen during the day.
Are you serious? Wow.
It doesn't have to be night. A lot have happened during the day. So you can get a lot of good EVP during the day. You can get photographs. Often people will hear things off in the woods in the distance, drums rolling, guns being fired, volleys of infantry fire, men singing and shouting, you know, and this happens during the day. This doesn't always happen at night. Like I said, a large number of things happen during the day, so you don't need
right.
to be there at night.
That makes sense.
Awesome. What are the cool places? We've got 8 minutes, so we got to get a list from you.
Aww.
Cool places to go to. I know Devil's Triangle, the Saks Bridge. What are the places to go to? Oh, I'm sorry, Devil's Den.
Yeah, Devil's Den is that's a large group of rocks that seems to have a lot of activity there.
And that one has a lot, from what I understand, a lot of camera failure there.
The Triangular Field has a lot of
camera. Oh, maybe that's the one I'm thinking of, Triangular Field.
Right, that one I've had more things go on the blink in that field. And it's interesting because Dale Kaczmarek, who is a Chicago ghost hunter, has written a number of books. He was in Gettysburg, looked me up, and he asked me about the Triangular Field. And we went out there, and of course, he had all kinds of instruments. We had about half a dozen instruments and went out there because both he and I were expecting there to be some huge magnetic field, maybe a lodestone or something buried out there. We swept that whole field, and other than just some random static electric blips in his meter, everything just flatlined. It was just a normal field out there. So whatever it is that's making the batteries and cameras die out there has nothing to do with the geology of it. It has something to do with something else that's going on out there. So I recommend the Triangular Field, definitely. And then Saks Bridge, which is that's the covered bridge that was at one time used by both Union and Confederate soldiers and became the rear of the Confederate line, in other words, where they did a lot of operations and amputations and burials out there. Then you may also want to go to a place called the Point of Woods, which is where Pickett's Charge was launched. Pickett's Charge was the third day of the battle, the climactic ending of the battle, where two-thirds of the original 12,500 Confederates became casualties. The Point of Woods has always been a little haunted. And you may want to try East Cavalry Battlefield. That's a couple of miles out of town. It's real quiet. And there was a huge cavalry battle out there between Jeb Stuart and a fellow by the name of George Armstrong Custer, who met his demise a number of years later against the Sioux Indians at the Little Bighorn.
Yeah, Custer's
and
last stand.
That would be, like, ideal for after 10?
No, that's
no.
closed
oh,
also.
That's still? Oh, okay.
Yeah, only Saks Bridge, from what I understand.
Okay, gotcha.
So I imagine there'll be like hundreds of people there at Saks Bridge after 10.
How do we announce? You'll have lots of people.
They'll be like,
you.
"Give me my free CD so I can go home." But very, very interesting. Very interesting. What's next for you?
What's on your plate? Well, Gettysburg 7. I'm working on it right now. I can't give you a release date on it because we're still in the writing stages of it. And we're still continuing with the ghost tours, you know, and I'll be there autographing on Halloween weekend. We're going to have a large group of authors, ghost authors, there on Halloween weekend, and anybody who wants to find out about it can check on the website, ghostsofgettysburg.com, to see who's going to be there that weekend.
And we're going to be here doing ghostly talk. Do you have internet in the office?
Do we have internet?
In the office.
Yes, we have. Someone will be, yeah, someone will be able to respond to inquiries from on our website. And, of course, we take reservations and also take orders on that also.
Should we, speaking of which, because we're going to be there next, I know, because I ordered off the website. It works really well. But the, should we reserve for next Sunday or Monday, Tuesday, you know, when we're going to be there? Or is walk-ins this time of year pretty well safe to walk in and go on a tour?
This time of year, you probably might want to make a reservation, let them know you're coming in, and then they'll let me know when you're going. Maybe we can get together.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Cool. All right, well, then I'm hitting ghostsofgettysburg.com yet again, because I'm going to make a reservation, because we're definitely going.
I did read on the site that if you went there early in the morning, it was, you know, your chances of going on the tour was greater, but then by like 10 or 11, it was like most of them are booked up.
Okay.
By like afternoon.
Then I'm definitely making the reservation because I can't guarantee that we'll pop in that early in the morning.
Right.
As ghost hunters, we tend to sleep in a little bit, Mark.
Yeah.
So, with that, you guys, I know we've only got 3 minutes left. So, what else? Because we've got 3 minutes. What do you want to ask Mark before we have to close the show and make way for W Paranormal?
I think he's covered about everything.
No, I think there's like 1,000 questions that I have for him. Of the authors that you've met, who's the coolest?
I'm sorry?
Of the authors that you've met there at Ghosts of Gettysburg, who's the coolest?
Oh, I've met so many neat people, and they're all so dedicated to this, you know, the paranormal, that it's just, it's great to see, you know, that the people are involved. Etta Conowitz is one of the probably one of the better writers and one of the better more dedicated people. Charlie Adams is real good too. I always enjoy him. And Rosemary Guiley has some incredible books out that you want to see. And then of course Catherine, who I think is about the most courageous ghost hunter.
I have to agree.
I thought of a question to ask you because I know we all like to eat. Is there any famous haunted restaurants?
Karma, I'll tell you. There are a couple of neat places that you can go to that have had some strange things happen. One is a place called the Blue Parrot.
That was sad.
How do you want a cracker?
And also Her Tavern.
Okay.
Tavern as in bar?
As in, yeah. It's named after, it was originally a tavern, a public house. And they just continued the name when they restored the place. And there's quite a bit of activity out there, too. They don't advertise it like a lot of places do, but there's a lot of activity out there.
Those are the best.
Interesting. One last question, because then we have to absolutely let W Paranormal take over the radio station. I have to ask, every year in Gettysburg, there's a huge ghost hunter convention. What's it like during the convention? Because we haven't been yet. What's it like during the convention? Are you guys absolutely swamped? What's the atmosphere?
Actually, they have it. Rick Fisher has it, and it's in March, and that's actually a good time to come to Gettysburg because we don't have the regular visitors in, and so we have a nice situation where the place is kind of quiet, and the ghost hunters have a pretty pretty quiet time out on the battlefield to do their investigations.
It's intimate.
Very interesting. Yeah, an intimate investigation with the ghosts and other ghost hunters. Very interesting. I'll have to email Rick Fisher and find out more details. You guys, do indeed have to break the show. That's it. We're done for this week. We won't be live next week either because we are going to be in Gettysburg doing all these wonderful things that our guest Mark Nesbitt has suggested and told us about. I do hope to meet you next week, Mark.
Yes.
I hope that works out because that would be totally cool. And one last time, we've been speaking with Mark Nesbitt of ghostsofgettysburg.com. This is Doug.
And I am Karma.
I'm Will.
And this has been Ghostly Talk. We'll see you in 2 weeks, everyone.
2 weeks.
Just 2 weeks. true science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.